Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
It must be hard to be a physiotherapist. I've seen them, you know, in documentaries and movies after someone's had a stroke or a back injury or something, and trying to get them to do the exercises, and the people are, I mean, they're doing the best they can. And as a physiotherapist, you have to have that kind of balance between encouraging them and just, you know, you're doing great, and then telling them to get off their lazy butts and try harder. Like, they got to be vicious sometimes, those physiotherapists, just to get mad a little bit, so you try harder and you do something you didn't think you could do. Coaching is kind of like that. Anybody who goes to a coach is already doing the best they can. They're going to the coach to find out how to have a better best. And day by day, as we walk with Jesus, we want to have a better best. And again, he's the ultimate therapist, isn't he? He's the healer, the great physician. He's the one who knows exactly. You know, when I was going through the worst parts of depression, my wife had wisdom from God, I think, because she knew when I needed just a word of encouragement, and she also knew when I needed a good swift kick in the butt. It's the second part that comes more naturally to her, by the way. She's a kindergarten teacher. I mean, come on. But folks, we are in the hands of the great physician. We are in the keeping of the greatest rabbi, the greatest coach, the greatest teacher, trainer. He is the one who can bring us not just to the best, but we're counting on him in the end to bring us to perfection. Isn't that just a great thing? I've got a song that I used to, I still sing, but I really like it. It's called Little by Little. Do you guys know it? Little by little, every day, a little by little, in every way, my Jesus is changing me. He's changing me, ba-dum-bum-bum. Since I made a turnabout face, I've been growing in his grace. My Jesus is changing me. You got to do it with a Western thing. He's changing me. My precious Jesus, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Sometimes it's slow going, but there's a knowing that someday perfect I will be. Isn't that last line a kicker? Someday perfect we will be. Wow, that's a long way from here, I'm telling you, at least in my life. But someday. So I hope that as I focused in this series on cross training, Jesus training us to bear the cross with grace and power and love, I hope that I haven't put too heavy a burden, because it's a joyful anticipation of this Lord of ours who is able to draw so much more out of us, so much pouring into us, and making us capable of things we found impossible. The thing I'm going to focus on today in our training is, I've called it team building. Christianity is a team sport. Do you understand that? It's not chess, a solo game, or, I mean, it's not something that you can just do by yourself. Many people try, but the scripture is full of encouragement and exhortation to get together. In fact, you probably are familiar with this verse from Hebrews 10, where the writer tells us, "We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." So far, except for the fact that he's saying us and our and we, it could be a solo thing. I'm going to draw near to God. I'm going to have my private prayer time. I'm going to read my scriptures. I'm going to have full confidence and hold unswervingly to the faith, and I'm going to do it all on my own. Well, with Jesus' help, of course, but otherwise all on my own. You almost could think, even like the Lord's Prayer, great prayer, but it starts with "Our Father," not "My Father." We're always remembering, forgive us our transgressions. Give us this day our daily bread. It's always the plural. There's something there. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. I know that scripture came out in spades when the pandemic started, and some people said, the government's trying to stop us, trying to make us use our common sense. I mean, the government is trying to destroy churches, because they were saying large groups can't meet together. And, well, you don't come to church when you've got a flu, never mind COVID. So it was just, you know, the law was use your common sense. And that got a lot of people mad because nobody wants to use their common sense anymore. Now, at the same time, we had to learn how to meet together because we can't stop meeting together. And we learned, I mean, we have live stream video. We have Zoom and Google Meet, and we get together. And there's been people meeting together daily on Zoom in this church for Bible study. And there's telecare people still calling regularly to make sure that the most isolated among us are not left alone. We gather together and we meet together in whatever ways we can, because it's vitally important to the well-being of our spiritual life. It's an odd team, and that's one of the very difficult things about Christianity. You know how in school when they used to pick teams, there'd be two captains? And the way I remember it, one was always a jock, and he'd pick all his friends, all the other jocks, and then there'd be somebody else would be picking people like me. And at least we're going to lose, but at least I'll be with my friends. This is an odd team. An odd team where God has brought together rich and poor. You don't see that in very many places. In fact, suburbs are designed to keep the rich and the poor separate. Cities are designed that way. You've got, in the early church, you had the Greek and the Jew, and there was a whole bunch of things designed to keep those guys apart. You have people with high education and low education. You have people with different political stripes and backgrounds. Yeah, actually, and I'm sorry, I maybe was a little bit harsh about that common sense thing, because there are fears about the world around us getting in the way of us being the church. But there are people who are of one political persuasion and people of another political persuasion, and we're told to love one another. In Paul's day, he was able to say that in this body of Christ, there is neither slave nor free. Can you, church in the 20th century became one of the most segregated parts of North American life. And some people would still like churches where, you know, there's a church for the officers and a church for the enlisted men. They'd still like a church where the employers and the professionals, they have their church. And the hoi polloi have their church. There's still churches on one side of the tracks and churches on the other side of the tracks. And that is not the way Jesus designed his church. He tells the church not to have favoritism towards the rich, but he also tells them, don't have favoritism towards the poor. In that day and age, Paul talked about communion. And, you know, his words, I think, have been somewhat misunderstood. Some people will refuse communion because I'm just not worthy. Guess what? Nobody's worthy. Paul didn't say, are you worthy to take communion? He said, take communion in a worthy manner. And to that, he was speaking to some of the, what you might call the professionals, the people who could get off work early, and they could show up at church, and they could start the love feast before the slaves were able to get time off, and they'd have everything eaten before the rest of the church arrived. And Paul said, that's not a worthy way of celebrating the Lord's Supper. To forget about the body of Christ, to forget about the people who are going to come, and they're not going to be able to celebrate with you because you've gone ahead without them. That's not, you know, it's like the Marines, you know, we don't leave anybody behind, right? Communion. That's the word we use for it in our tradition. Some call it Eucharist. Some call it the Lord's Supper. This idea of communion, that yes, we have communion with God through Christ on the cross, but it's also communion with one another. Not just with the people that happen to be sitting at this church at the time we have communion, but recognizing the church of Christ is bigger than that. And even though the church is divided into denominations and congregations and this and that, the ultimate command of Christ is that new commandment that he gave. A new commandment I give unto you, that you should love one another as I have loved you. That's a song too, right? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now there's some scripture memorization right there for you. Keep that scripture in mind. Jesus could not have given that command in the Old Testament. He could not have given that command the day he started his ministry. He had to give that command on the night that he was about to surrender his life for his disciples, for his world. Because that you love one another as I have loved you only comes to its full revelation when Jesus goes to the cross for people who betrayed him, denied him, and deserted him, along with those who actually executed him. The full meaning of love one another as I have loved you could not be even comprehended until we saw the fullness of his love. Now, I want to ask you a question. In all your years in the church, has any Christian ever disappointed you? Oh, love them as well? Yeah, I'm having trouble with that too. But that's what our coach is teaching us. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on us. Because John says it, you know, we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Good stuff. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. God is love, and in this world, not in heaven, in this world, we are like him. I was hoping that it wouldn't have to happen until I got to the resurrection. It would be easy. Oh my God, won't it be... Sorry, wrong way to say that. Won't it be easy to love one another in heaven when we're all perfect? Oh my goodness. That's like vacation time, right? But did Jesus wait till we were perfect before he loved us? Not a chance. Not a chance. Now, his love wasn't a mushy kind of marshmallow love where there's never any hard edges. He was a God. He was a Savior. He was a teacher who could say a word of correction. I remember how he kind of rounded on Martha, you know, when Martha decides to take a pot shot at Mary. Says, Jesus, could you tell Mary to get off her lazy butt and help me with the dishes over here? And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious about many things, but Mary has chosen to sit at my feet and listen to my teachings. She's chosen the better thing, and that will not be taken away from her. Now, that was a little bit harsh on Mary, on Martha. Martha was doing her best. She was trying to get a meal together. She was trying to serve the Lord. And the Lord didn't complain about the noise she was making with the dishes, but when she decided to take out a little bit of spite on another one of the family of God, her actual literal sister, Jesus had a word for her. Remember when Judas decided to be all self-righteous about the expensive bottle of perfume that was being poured over Jesus' feet? And he said, that woman is wasting that stuff. We could have fed many poor people. Well, that sounds like a good argument. But Jesus says, leave her alone, will you? And Judas was so upset about being corrected, it says, that's part of the foothold that the devil got on him in his decision to betray Jesus. Jesus is willing to correct us. Thank goodness for that. He's willing to correct us in his love. And there are times when we need to be willing to help one another towards the truth. But so often, criticism is just nasty. So often, correction isn't designed to get the person to change. It's designed to show I'm right and you're wrong. And we got to be so careful that we really, really love one another. If we're speaking the truth in love, let's just not make that a phrase, right? And if we talk about love the sinner but hate the sin, let's make sure that's not just a cliche, that we really do love one another. That we really, really do. Because John goes on to say, we're going to be like him. And he says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. Yes, liar, liar, pants on fire, that kind of a liar. And we have to go to God in confession and go, Lord, I'm a liar. Why is this true? That you can't love God and hate your brother? Well, John says, anyone who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Now that makes sense. In fact, you may be able to love the brothers that are distant from you, brothers and sisters that are far away in another part of the world, because you don't have to put up with them. But the brother and sister that you meet with, not just weekly, but day after day in the body of Christ, you have to put up with their stuff. And they have to put up with yours, for that matter. So, love in theory is easy. Love in practice is more of a challenge. And Jesus has given us a great place to practice. It's called the body of Christ, where he's done different wonderful things in each of our lives, and he's still working on other things in our lives. And we often look at our neighbor Christian and think they should be as far progressed as I am. And they're looking at us and saying, they should be as far progressed as I am. I was just looking up, just to make sure I remembered his name right, because it was 30 years ago, I think, when I heard Todd Wetzel speaking at a Faithfulness Today conference in Hamilton. And he was one of the leaders of the Episcopal Renewal Movement in the States. And he was giving us some really good, solid help in understanding how to be a force for renewal in the church in Canada, in the United Church. And I remember him telling this story. I may have told some of you it before, that he had gotten a real big dose of the Holy Spirit at a ministerial meeting one day when only he and another guy showed up, and that other guy prayed for him and prophesied over him and blessed him and encouraged him. And on his way home, he started singing, and by the time he got home, he realized he wasn't singing in English anymore. He was singing in some language he didn't know. And the Holy Spirit started working in his ministry, and people were coming to Jesus, and people were getting healed, and people were just having a deeper walk with Jesus, and he was really getting excited about that, but unfortunately his wife wasn't, because he was off running around doing all this stuff, and she was at home, and they started to get into friction about it. They started having arguments about it. And finally, it really blew up one day as he was about to leave on a spiritual retreat. He says they had a big blowout, and there was words said, and there were ultimatums made, and he went off to the spiritual retreat in a red haze. And he got there, and before the retreat was really going to get going, the guy said, I want you all to go out and find a quiet place and just spend some time with God and just clear your hearts and minds for this retreat. And so he went out and he found a quiet space. He says he had a flair for the dramatic. He found it was evening, it was a full moon, and there was a grove of trees with a clearing, and there was a moonbeam coming through the clearing. And he went right into the center of the moonbeam, and he knelt down, and he prayed with all the passion that he had. He said, Lord, why can't she love you the way that I love you? And he says he had the privilege of hearing the Lord's voice for the first time in his life. And you know what the Lord said to him? He said, why can't you love her the way I love her? Ouch. Ouch. So, next time you're thinking about one of your brothers and sisters and saying, oh Lord, why can't they love you the way that I love you? Think about how much he loves them. Think about how much he loves you. And love one another. Because you can't love God and not at least want to love one another. You are in his image, and so is your brother or sister in Christ. You are perhaps not perfectly in his image yet. Neither is your brother or sister in Christ. But the only way to get there is to love one another. Is to love one another. Because this team can't save the world with the good news of Christ's love if we can't even show Christ's love to one another. I know that sometimes when we talk about love one another in the church, it sounds kind of like insular. You know, it's not about the big mission of saving. It is about the big mission of saving the world. Because if we can't love the ones we've got, how can we honestly say we love the ones who don't know Jesus yet? If we want the world to know Jesus, what did the song say? And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. And if our love for one another can be thrown off by the little remnants of sin in our lives, how are we really going to meet the needy of the world with sometimes some of the bigger remnants of sin in their lives? This team, not just this congregation here, but the church of God, That's a dangerous term right now. All the assemblies of God's people, the Mennonites, the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Anglicans, the Catholics, all of us have to love one another. If we're following Jesus, we have to love one another. I mean, we have to love everybody, but we have to love one another. God has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. There is another reason. Yeah, you love the Father, you love the Son, right? And to those who have received him, he has given them the right to become children of God. If you love the Father, you love his children. You may be worried about how much noise they make when they're running up and down the aisles. You may be worried about all kinds of things about children, but you love children. And if you love the parents, you love the children. And sometimes it's hard. God, our Father, says, love my children. Love one another. So then we have, and here's a great study for you to do. You can do it in an online Bible. You can do it in Logos, which you have access to through your participation in St. Paul's Church. You can do it Bible Gateway. You can search the Bible online. Much easier than, if you want to search it yourself and read every page to find every occurrence of the words one another, do it. Go ahead. But if you want to get the shortcut and search the Bible, okay, I'll let you off with that. Look for all the occurrences, especially in the New Testament, of the phrase one another. Bear one another. Bear with one another. In Ephesians, here's a great example. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. Have you noticed when Paul starts listing sins in the Bible? He'll list gossip and slander right alongside murder and sexual immorality. He'll list gossip and slander, malicious talk and malice right alongside idolatry and greed. Like Jesus, his Lord, he puts loving one another way up the priority list. Oh, I don't steal anymore. Good for you. Love your brother. Oh, I've stopped all my adultery. Good for you. Love your sister. Love one another. He's teaching us to do that, and I see the evidence of it. I've seen it in the body of Christ over and over again, and I see it here in St. Paul's. I'm just starting to get to know you. And despite the conflicts and differences, despite the things that just aren't going right in our life and make us a little bit more touchy and irritable, sometimes in spite of great tragedy within an individual's life, you see the light of Christ exploding in love and gratitude and grace towards others. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? That is the miracle. Like, I mean, these days doctors can make the lame walk, and sometimes they can make the blind see, and they can restore hearing to the point where you actually turn off your hearing aid so you don't have to listen anymore. Those are great medical miracles. But for us to love one another is the greatest miracle of all. It's something that only the power of Jesus Christ can do. And so if you're trying to love one another, you're trying to love the poor, you're trying to love the needy, you're really, really finding it hard to love these people without hating those people because of what those people did to these people, you're finding it hard to love everybody and you know that all that we need is love, you need Jesus. The one who was able from the cross to say, forgive them.
to the guys who had just lashed him 39 times, who had mocked him and beaten a crown of thorns into his skull and nailed him to a cross, and he was able to say, "Father, forgive them." He was able to love Judas as Judas was going out to betray him. And the Father said, "Call him friend. Friend, you do this with a kiss?" Yeah, Judas had become an enemy of Jesus, but Jesus hadn't become Judas's enemy. And that's something Judas didn't seem to realize when he started to realize how wrong he was. This is the love that comes from God, and that can only come from God. And you need that love, and I need that love. And we're getting that love as much as we are in Christ, as much as we are leaning on Him, as long as we are learning from Him, as long as His Spirit is living in us. And it's happening. We're changing, little by little, every day. And I believe that that's why this team has a future in this league. That's why I believe that He has done great things. And that's why I believe they will know we are Christians by our love. Jesus, You are a great and glorious Savior. Holy is Your name. Lord, if we could only surrender all to You. Lord, if we could, and we can just lay it before You, our hearts, with all our defects and all the marks of Your handiwork. And let You sort that out and work it out day by day, so that today's best won't be as good as tomorrow's best, and that one day perfect we will be. Oh, Jesus, we long for that day. We rejoice to see it with the eyes of hope and faith. Take us there, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.